opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, this is Elle.
And this is Ron Lim, co-host to the Ask Elle. Sorry, I didn't.
You
know
wish.
I was a Freudian slip.
Would you like to have my show?
No, I'm co-host to the Ask Elle show, and we also have our co-host with the most, Coco Lenny Matthews.
Hello.
And we have a special guest tonight. I'll introduce her in a minute. Our number here, if you'd like to call in, we'd like to hear from you, is 530-605-4567. You can listen to us at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM, or you can go into your phone and go to KCNR1460.com and hit the live green button and listen in. You can also text Ask Elle herself directly. Okay, we're getting the giggles again.
If you could see what my mic is doing.
No, we don't want to see
that. Soon it's not midnight.
Okay, where was I? Okay, we got your number.
I'm talking into my kneecaps here.
You can all, what was that number again? To text you?
707-499-4999.
Okay. So we got, oh wait, you can also message any three of us, a messenger at Ask Elle herself, Lenny Matthews, and Ron Lim. We got to talk about our sponsor real quick.
That's correct. Lenny. And our sponsor this month is the Kindness Revolution, led by Wendy Douglas Insurance. And I wanted to mention our sponsors for July. We have five every month, and that's really how this whole thing comes to fruition. The sponsors are Wendy Douglas Farmers Insurance, SJ Denim, Woody's, Loan with Jen Wagner, and Lifestyle Reading. So big shout out and thank you to those sponsors.
Thank you, all of you. For your kindness.
Absolutely. And the Kindness Revolution, really, in a nutshell, is something that we do once a month. We go out and find a local grocery store or convenience store with groceries and food or gas, and we give out 40 $25 gift certificates that they can use in the store or at the gas pumps. It's a random thing. We can't say where, we can't say when, but it happens every month. And what we do is we put up our great big yellow smiley feather flag. When you see that thing pop up, we're in business, and we're going to be there until the 40 vouchers are gone.
I'd spend $25 in gas driving around looking for that flag.
Yeah. And you look for it. It's random. You just run into it.
And if you find us, we can reimburse you with that $25 voucher. So it's really, really, really an awesome thing that we do every month. So if you're interested in becoming a sponsor so that we continue doing random acts of kindness, you can give me a buzz at 530-524-1369. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that introduction. All right, so the show we have for you tonight is very personal to me. It's about Jordan, and I think a lot of you have followed Jordan. O'Callaghan, she's here, right here in the studio. Say hi.
Hello.
Those that follow Ron will know Jordan. Through Harlow.
Yes.
Harlow is my little buddy. He's three and a half now. And I actually was his guardian for the first 6 years of first six,
six, months.
Six months of his
first
life.
First 6 years of his three-year-old
I'm
life.
Thinking ahead. 6 months of his life. And I was there for the when he was born. I was doing video, and the doctor said, you might want to just not do that. I said, oh, okay. So I was there, saw it all. And he was in the hospital for a few days and took him home and had him for 6 months. And then I turned him over to Aunt Sherilyn, who is Jordan's sister, 6 months later. And she's had him ever since. And I now am, or still see him a lot.
Super involved in his
life. Super involved. We fly. We do car shows. I mean, you know, he does parades with me. He loves cars and airplanes. And I don't know why, but
he's pretty precious.
So this story is very, very close to my heart, and so I wanted to bring her on so that we could talk about a success story and where. And by the way, not to ruin the ending, but I just want to let you know that she just got full custody of Harlow last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that. We're all very proud of her, and it's been quite the journey. It's really been good for me, too, you know. I don't have any grandkids yet. Working on it. So, yeah, that's how I got involved in all of this. And
Well, Ron, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you for being there for my son when I couldn't be.
Oh, thank you.
It truly, you're a blessing, and I appreciate you.
That's sweet. Thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you.
I like that.
So I'll turn it back over to Elle. I just wanted to let you know kind of what's going on tonight. I think there's a lot of people listening. A success story. You don't hear so often.
I am so excited to hear your story because I really love a story that people are going to, one, identify with, because this is an epidemic that's touching every family. And so you have a journey that is really going to infuse a lot of hope into people. And so this show doesn't have any format tonight. We're just going to round robin it. But I kind of want to open it up to you, Jordan, because I don't know. I know your story from the moment that I met Ron, and Ron was involved in Harlow's life. And I'm recently just meeting you. Beautiful for those of you. She is an incredible. I'm sitting across from her. Her eyes are sparkling. She's model beautiful. To look at you, it's almost incredulous to think where you have come from. And again, I don't know the full story. I'm looking forward to hearing it. So I want to turn it over to you. You start where you feel like it's relevant to start. I want you to share what you feel is relevant to share.
Okay.
We'll throw questions at you. Lenny's got a lot of great questions. And so, you know, we'll just see what happens here. But, yeah.
So I'm going to start from a very young age. I was very active. So I did ballet, tap, jazz, gymnastics, you name it. I was involved in it. I went to a private school, and by middle school, seventh grade summer, spring break, I ran away for my first time. And so from there, I started smoking cigarettes, I started drinking. I did really well in school when I went to school, if I went to school.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes.
Because the big question mark that just hit me, like, you know, slap cold water, is you're identifying a life that sounds pretty spectacular. You're in a private school. You're involved in sports. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what an incredible girl. So what happens? You know, scratch the brakes. What happens at such a young age that you're going through that you decide to run away? Or is that something you can talk about?
Well, it's not that I can't talk about it. I knew that it wasn't illegal to run away. It was just illegal to not go to school. So my main concern was getting my homework done and making up the credits, and I thought I could afford to take time off. And then I started getting really rebellious. So it was just, it wasn't like one life-changing event that took place. It was just like I was testing the waters, and then before you know
it. You really tested the waters.
Oh, yeah.
Like you didn't just stick your toe in.
I went for it, I did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything that I had.
It says a lot about your spirit and gumption.
Yeah,
everything. I like that. I went for it with everything.
You have
a lot
of determination. Fascinating. Okay, I am so sorry to interrupt you, but
sometimes I would go so far, I didn't come back. So
okay.
So were you unhappy at home or with your life? Were you miserable? Did you feel like you just had to get out of there? And was it independence you were looking for?
I mean, I would say it's independence. I mean, my mom had a daycare, you know, and she was a really good mom, you know. I mean, my dad, we didn't really have the best relationship, but it wasn't a bad relationship, you know. He just was absent a lot of the time. I just took life and ran with it, really. I was a young girl living an adult life, really, if I look at it now, you know. I mean, I was making decisions that I look back and I'm like, wow, I was that age, you know, like,
you're 12.
I'm kind of having 12. That same thought,
yes.
Like, what?
Like, how did I get away with that?
Right?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. Uh-huh. And that's what I want to know.
Braces so and everything.
Let's get into that.
Yeah, this is great because I don't even know all this.
Yeah.
And I've been around for 3.5 years.
So you're 12 and you ran away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what?
So that didn't
Did you run away
long.
For
so
a day? An
break.
Hour?
Yeah, that was about 24 hours. So that was a spring break. So spring break usually is about a week.
Okay, I have to stop. I'm okay. Sorry. That was a tease.
Hold that.
We'll, okay. We'll come back to this because we have to take a break.
Yeah, hold that
thought. I was mesmerized right by your story.
Be right back, right. Folks.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating in and air.
Hi, this is Elle.
This is co-host Ron Lim with the Ask Elle Show. Sorry about that.
She was posing for his camera.
She was posing for me. And also, this is Ron Lim, co-host. I think I said that. We also have with us our co-host with the most, Coco, Lenny Matthews.
That's cool.
And here's our guest,
hello,
Jordan O'Callaghan, and this is Jackie that just showed up from Team Challenge. We're going to have her on the air soon. Okay, so we've been on break. Well, we're going to first of all, I'm going to give you a phone number if you'd like to call in. We'd like to hear from you. It's 530-605-4567. You can listen to us at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM. Or you can go to KCNR1460.com and hit the live read button and listen to us there. If you like, you could also text Elle herself at
707-499-8999.
Or you can even message the three of us on Facebook, Elle herself, Ask Elle, Lenny Matthews, and Ron Lim. So before when we went on break, we just started talking about well, Elle, you go. Oh, wait.
We got to
talk about the sponsor real quick.
Oh,
Lily, tell us about our sponsor.
Thank you. Yes, our sponsor this month is the Kindness Revolution led by Wendy Douglas Insurance. Would like to thank our sponsors this month. Of course, Farmers, which is Wendy Douglas Insurance, and SJ Denim, Woody's, Loan with Jen Wagner, and Lifestyle Reading. And I would like to bring up the fact that the Kindness Revolution is working on some things. Not only are we doing food and gas as random acts of kindness, but we're also going into the schools. And we have a bully program that we are already involved in with one school. And we hope to develop that next year. We're reaching out to some of the other schools. So, it is a nonprofit, program that we're doing. And, what we do is we hand out 40 $25 gift certificates to random people that walk up to one of our local stores, and we hand them out until they're gone. So, we can't say where and we can't say when, but we do it once a month. So look for our smiley face yellow flag and give me a buzz to support the Kindness Revolution if you're interested. 530-524-1369.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Lenny. Okay, back to Elle.
Yeah.
And back to you.
Yep. So our special guest tonight is also a very special friend to my co-host, Ron Lim. So we're going to kind of launch in where we left off, which I'm just so curious about this girl that's 12 years old and runs away from home and thinks that's a good idea. And so it's already saying a lot about her because she described not a too terrible situation. She wasn't running away from something that sounded horrific, which is what I was expecting. Not you, you just have a lot of determination and willfulness at this point. So from there, I mean, when you ran away, how long did you run away from? For?
So the first time, it was only about a day.
Okay.
And that was spring break of my seventh grade year. And then summer, I went for a couple weeks. But then when eighth grade came around, I went back to school, you know, for that time. So I stayed home while I was going to school. And then I was actively in school until freshman. Yeah, I was a freshman because I played volleyball that year. And then after volleyball season, my grandmother passed away, and I moved to my dad's in Stockton for a little while. That didn't last too long. Lasted about 3 weeks under his roof, and then I ran away from there. And so then...
In Stockton?
Yes.
Okay, so what happened when you run away in Stockton? What happened?
Well, I mean, it was life-changing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from here, so.
Yeah, big city.
Yes, definitely.
I'm just thinking, how did you not die? Like, where did you run away to? Where? I'm thinking, is this a child that's living on the streets? You don't know anybody? Did you run away to friends' houses? What was
that
like?
Well, I didn't really know a lot of people there.
Yeah.
So everybody was newly introduced into my life. It wasn't like we had some long history of, yeah, I was just, I had a wild side.
Mm-hmm. Were you afraid?
I think at times, I would be lying if I said I wasn't, but I also know that I was just very, I don't want to say I didn't care, but I was just like, this is my life, I'm going to live it how I want to live it. Nobody can tell me what to do. That was my mindset. And then it turned into like a, I knew what I was doing, but I guess I just didn't.
You wanted it.
Yeah.
So you liked it.
And I knew I was young enough to where I could still turn, this is weird to say, but I could still turn my life around. Like, it was, I was like, well, I'm just going to go until I'm 18, and then I'll be able to figure it out from there. Like, that was my mindset. And so I was just surviving. I was just doing whatever. And then it got to the point where that's all I knew how to do. I didn't know how to live under one roof, or I didn't know how to get mail somewhere. You know, you have to be there for 2 weeks to 30 days. Like, I didn't, that all felt foreign to me. So to call something home, like, that wasn't, that was definitely an uncomfortable, I didn't like that.
So
I didn't like
14.
Being in one place for longer than a certain period of time.
You're 14, you run away, And were you just, did you just stay run away? Run away?
So if I got caught by law enforcement, it's not technically illegal to run away. It's illegal to not go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so really I would get arrested and either brought to juvie, but most of the time I got either arrested and brought to school or I'd get brought home. And then I knew my ways around home, so I would just do what I needed to do, and then next thing you know, I was taken off again.
So this went on and on and on through high school?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep. I actually didn't graduate until about a year ago.
Wow.
And I had 6 credits left to finish.
Wow.
In that time, were you at home with your mom or?
When?
The school? We went through high school.
Dads.
Oh, dads.
So, yeah, where were they returning you to?
Freshman, I went to Enterprise, and then I went to Stockton a couple weeks, took off. I was probably there for about 3 months, and then I got arrested, and I was brought to a Mary Graham. It's an adoption center. And so basically they were going to put me in a foster home, and they gave my parents the choice to come pick me up, and my mom had shown up, and so I moved back here with her. And then I did okay. I went to homeschool, but it didn't ever really last too long. I would do fine for a little while, and then all of a sudden I would take off again.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I like
it. What was driving that? What was behind that?
I was a runaway, that's for sure. I was gone for so long that there was missing posters of me. And I hear that all the time, like, oh, you know, I've seen you on, you know, and they show me a poster. And yeah, I mean.
When did they, how old were you when they started putting posters out for you?
High school, mm-hmm. maybe. I remember high school, definitely high school, maybe middle school. Mm-hmm.
Was there anything particularly influencing you to feel like, hey, I can do better. There's more out there for me. Or
yes, I just don't think I knew how. I think by the time that I had that mindset, I just only knew how I was living. I didn't necessarily know how to get back to that place. And then I also kind of felt like I didn't really have I was living the life that I wanted to live, but necessarily didn't have the freedom until I turned 18. So I kind of felt like I was in like a battle of like I could only put so much into it because really there's still restrictions on me until I'm 18. And I think that's kind of where my rebellion kind of came from.
Were there drugs involved while you were out on your own?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like when did that start? Do you remember? What age were you when you started?
Well,
experimenting or whatever it is.
Probably 7th grade.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that was part of your influence, was wanting to go out and party and get high and hang out?
I would say party. At that point, I don't think I was necessarily addicted to anything physically.
Right.
Maybe the lifestyle.
Party.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here I thought she was a quiet girl the whole time. I am fine. That's kind of shocking. Jordan?
Well.
So at that point, it was probably just fun. You didn't have to listen to authority.
Mm-hmm.
You got to just go out and have fun and party and be independent. And
yep.
And then one thing developed into another. How does that look?
Yeah, and then it basically, you know, that's where my life. So from the ages of 18 to about 23, I was off and on in an abusive relationship. And in between those years, it was, jails, institutions, psych wards. I was struggling from psychosis. They would ask me, are you on your meds? And I'd never be on my meds. I'd be on drugs. So I'm like, you know, and they'd put me back on a 24-hour hold to get me stable, or 2 weeks, or whatever the timeline was. I just hadn't experienced death, you know. And so, and then from 23 to 25, I mean, I was pretty much homeless the whole time. I just wasn't homeless like I was from 23 to 25. I was pretty much in a tent or on the streets.
From 23 to 25,
I would say about that. Maybe even 26.
So I am curious, what did homelessness look like for you when you were in a teenager? So in your teen years.
I always had a roof, at least.
So you were couch surfing.
Pretty much.
Homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or one party to the next.
So
you know.
Running away from home, hanging out with people, whoever would open mm-hmm. their doors to you. Any place but home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I mean, I think there was a handful of times when I did show back up home, but again, it didn't ever really last.
What was that like for you when you would go back home? What was that experience?
I mean, I think a part of me wanted to be home. I just know the damage that I did to my family, you know, mm-hmm. and going back and saying sorry and doing the same thing over again. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's probably still as difficult, you know, but, I mean, I tried to face it. I just, you know, words can only go so far sometimes. Mm-hmm. Actions speak louder than words, and I just really wasn't there. I wasn't there.
You just hit on something that I think is probably a really good point for people that are out there and want to go home, but have a challenge going back home because they don't want to face all the damage, or they think...
Yeah.
That they've gone too far, they've done too much, mm-hmm. there's no repairing it, and it keeps them away from their family or their support systems.
Yeah.
Wow. So couch surfing as a teenager is what it looked like, running away from home, but then you get into your adult life,
mm-hmm.
and now you're not a runaway anymore.
Right.
You're an adult.
Right.
And your life is very different now because at a certain point you're homeless. You're living in a tent. And I'm assuming that this is drug-driven.
Yes. By this time, yes. So I would say about 18, maybe even 17, I started doing opiates. And so it started off with Oxycontin and then... You know, I got in a car accident, I didn't really realize my tolerance. And then before you knew it, I was, you know, doing whatever I could get my hands on. So heroin. At that point, I think I was only smoking it, but by my early 20s, I was shooting up. So, I mean, and that's anything I could get my hands on. So I remember I would do hundreds back to back of both dope and heroin just to get out of bed. I mean, so,
okay, yeah. We're going to stop right there. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we have to take a break. Yeah,
story.
Powerful story. Thank you again for being here, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Property Management, committed to providing service-oriented solutions to owners and landlords, offering full-time management services which covers everything from screening tenants to rent collection to final walkthrough inspections when tenants move out. Authority Property Management oversees single-family homes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial properties. Rental pricing, available properties, and a quick and easy-to-fill-out application can be found online at authoritypm.com.
Hi. This is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Good evening, this is Elle.
And this is co-host Ron Lim to the Ask Elle Talk Show. We also have with us our very special co-host, Coco, Lenny Matthews. Co-host with the most.
Hello.
And we have some guests here. I'll be introduced them in a minute. Our phone number here is 530-605-4567. If you'd like to call in, that would be great. I'd like to hear from you. You can listen to us at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, or you can go to kcnr1460.com, live green button, or you can text Elle herself at
707-499-8999.
Or you can message us, any one of us three on Facebook, to Ask Elle, Lenny Matthews, and me, Ron Lim. And Lenny is going to tell us a little bit about our sponsor.
Yes, our sponsor is the Kindness Revolution. It is a nonprofit program that we do, which is led by Wendy Douglas Insurance. And we do random acts of kindness. We look for locally owned grocery stores that have gasoline, and we give away 40 $25 gift certificates for people that just randomly walk up the day that we're doing it. And we're there until they're gone. We can't say where and we can't say when, but we do it once a month. So, and I'd like to say thank you to our sponsors, Wendy Douglas Insurance, SJ Denim, Woody's, Loan with Jen Wagner, and Lifestyle Reading. Would also like to mention that you can look us up on Facebook at the Kindness Revolution Redding, California, and you can check us out there and find out more about us. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor, please give me a call at 530-524-1369. Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Okay, so we'll head it back over to Elle. Yeah. And, you can introduce them again.
You should introduce them.
Let me introduce my good friend, close friend, Harlow's mom, Jordan.
Hello.
O'Callahan. And we have Jackie here from Teen Challenge.
Hello.
We're going to talk a little bit about Teen Challenge here pretty soon. Okay, so where were we?
Yeah, so where were we? I mean, we were all over the place, but I've kind of jaw dropped. I'm listening to your story and the tenacity that it took for you to be this, I don't want to say rebellious as much as I want to say strong-willed person. And so now you're into your 20s and you've been on the streets. And how did you end up on the streets?
In my 20s?
Yeah, I mean, instead of now you're 18, you can work if you want to, but obviously your lifestyle was spiraling in a way that no longer became an option for you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I could just say I just didn't know how to be stable at that point. I mean, I knew how to live the life that I was living, and I didn't really know any other way. I mean, I did try programs off and on, and I would do very well in the program. And then I would get out, and I would do the same old thing. I would just hit the streets running. And I gained all these tools, but I didn't know how to use them, and I didn't use them, you know, out in the world. And so, I mean, when I applied myself, I did great. But if I didn't, I was very well at that, too. You know, that's how.
Whatever you did it well. And I'm eager to kind of get.
To
I don't want to skip too far ahead, but I am eager to find out what made the difference for you this last time around. So we'll get to that. We, you know, but there's some missing pieces between now and then, in your story. And Lenny, you were about to ask a question and I cut you off.
I'm just sitting here listening to your story, and I've heard, a lot of recovery stories. Yours is different. I think we all have a different story. Yours is, different and special. Absolutely.
Thank you.
But I'm sitting here listening and wondering, was there ever a place in your heart, in your soul, where you thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to wake up feeling clean. I want to have a full belly. I want to wake up feeling good. I want to live, whatever normal life meant to you at that time. Did you ever hit a rock bottom, or did you kind of like where you were?
I think I could say both. There were times when I thought I hit rock bottom, but it really wasn't. I had a lot farther to, you know, drop. And I always thought that I wanted help, but I just never actually made the change. Like, I never committed to the change myself. Like, I knew both ways of living, you know, or I would go into program and then I would do excellent. And then it would only last about a month when I got out, you know. And, I mean, I think I did always want that. I just never really put it into action.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So I want to talk about rock bottom, because you said that you thought you had a few bottoms.
Yes.
And they were probably pretty low because you thought they were rock bottom. And then they ended up not being rock bottom. So what was rock bottom? What did that look like?
Well, my rock bottom was I was sitting outside of Rayleigh's. I was homeless. I didn't know at the time, but I was pregnant, and my aunt was at our local Rayleigh's, and she walked by, and she recognized me, and she asked me how I was doing, and if she could get me anything, and she ran into the store, and when she ran into the store, she had called my sister. My sister showed up, and she took me to her house, and I think we got into a disagreement about something, and she ended up dropping me off at my mom's. Within a couple days, I got really sick. I just thought I was coming down. They tried telling me I was pregnant. I don't really think that's what I wanted to hear, considering the life that I was living. I don't think I could really, like, come to grasp that I was, you know. And I think I was in complete denial because I told them that they were crazy and that I had an ear infection, or I think at one point I even said, oh, I have an oversized organ. And they were like, well, we need a 5150 her and we're going to take her,
By the way, this is where I came into the picture.
Yes.
Was that day that her sister, Cher,
brought her hear about that.
To the house, and I was there. Yeah, she was something else.
So leading up to this, what...
To say it lightly.
She wanted to fight me, beat me up.
How long had it been, leading up to this point where your aunt saw you in front of Rayleigh's, how long had it been since your family knew where you were or had seen you?
I think about 2.5 years.
Oh, wow. So that was, I just got chills. That was a very long time for your family to not know where you are.
It's probably one of the longest.
Can't even imagine what they must have felt when they saw you.
I think that you should share like a day in your life, like, so everyone can really understand what you were living. Like maybe some of your charges or warrants or just a day, in the life of somebody who is addicted to drugs and homeless on the streets and in Reading.
I mean, that just consisted of the streets. I mean, I didn't really, I was probably living in a tent or I was jumping from one campsite to another. And then I would get charges and I'd have my tickets on me and then I'd lose them and then I'd forget my court dates, you know, and I'd end up getting all these warrants or, I mean, I would run into people and they hadn't seen me for a long time. I mean, I get all the time that, you know, people thought that I was dead. Mm-hmm. They're just shocked to see me alive. I mean, I think every day was pretty different. I don't necessarily know of, like, the same consistency, except I was chasing a high. You know?
Good.
And that was my only thing that I really cared about, you know, was how to get my next fix. And once I think I was mentally and physically addicted, I mean, that was, you know, that was it. That's
main
all
focus.
I cared about.
Yeah.
So I mean, because I had, you know, the Lord when I was a child, you know, and I definitely followed him. But I know I stepped out of his will and I went on my own, and look where that got me, you know. And so, yeah.
How old were you?
Oops. Oh, sorry.
How old were you and did you eat?
How old was I when?
When you were found, at the point where you were found and you were pregnant with Harlow.
Oh, I was
Harlow.
26.
26, okay.
So, well, I was, I think I was 26. 2019. Okay. So December 22nd.
Still young. Still very young.
2019. So I had him. Okay, so I was sick for a few days at my mom's. I thought I was coming down. And they thought I would run if they took me to a hospital, so they took me to Red Bluff. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, at least if she runs, you know, she can't go too far. And so the doctor immediately hooked up monitors to my stomach. He told me that I was 36 or 38 weeks pregnant.
Oh,
I mean, he was
my gosh.
Yes.
That's,
what?
This story is really...
And you were in denial? You thought you had an oversized organ?
Yeah, tumor.
And my sister will say that she only thought I was about 5 months along.
Yeah.
So, So he hooked up monitors to my stomach, and he was specific. It was either 38 or 36 weeks. And then he said basically he was going to induce me in an hour. And I gave birth December 27th to a beautiful baby boy.
That's beautiful. We Harlow.
That was Plan
Enter
B.
Enter Harlow.
Yes. And if you want to know about Harlow, go to Ron Lynn's Facebook. You can't miss him on there. So, you know, I want to move forward with what happens then. But I do have a curiosity, which is, because looking at you, you're stunning. You're a beautiful woman, and you're glowing. How did you stay alive? I mean, I'm just like, I can't imagine. I can't even believe this girl was able to stay alive out there. Because I've heard, and I have a niece that died a very horrific death on the streets, young and beautiful. And so the fact that you survived that is quite remarkable.
I mean, I see pictures of myself, and I mean, I pretty much look like a zombie, or like I was dead. Like,
yeah.
I was just, you know, I was just flesh. Like, I was very lifeless at times, you know.
People hurt people like young women on the street.
Mm-hmm. But I was very destructive as well, you know. I played my part in it, and I own that today. You know, I didn't really care who I hurt, you know. I just cared about my next.
The drug.
Yep.
Yeah. We have about 10 to 12 minutes left in the show, and I'm just dying to get the rest of it in, because that's really that's where the, you know.
That's the great ending.
Yes.
So I gave birth to my son, and he ended up having meth and marijuana in his system, and so I signed him over to Ron and my mom at the time, and they gave me the decision to go in a program. And so they presented Teen Challenge, you know, and I remember the doctor asking me, he was like, you know, well, what are you on? And I remember saying, well, what am I not on?
Yeah.
You know, like I was very...
I was there when he said that. You were so...
Very honest.
Honest.
Yeah. And so I think at that point... I mean, obviously, I was going from one extreme to the next, you know, but I was okay going into program, and I knew that my motives were a little different. Like, now I have a child in this world, and I think that was definitely what motivated me to make the change in my life and know that, you know, I mean, ultimately, yes, I need to do it for myself, but I really need to do it for him. You know.
So you wanted that baby.
Of course, yes. Right.
Oh, that's beautiful.
From the minute
Good
that
for
I knew
you.
He was in me.
Bless your heart. Awesome.
And so I went in a program January 7th. And so I did my year as a student. And then after that, I transferred to our local Happy Valley Center to do an internship. So I did my first and my second phase internship. And then after, so that was a whole nother year. And then after that, I was hired on as staff.
And wow. What a fabulous
by the,
thing.
By the time she got to us or to me, for me to mentor her, all of the chaos was done.
So she got to you. You're the staff person.
I'm the director for the program.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
So that's just, we just skipped right over all that. I thought there was the meat and potatoes, but here we are now. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about what was happening during this 2 years that you're doing your program and your internship. Your son is
up here.
Here.
Yeah.
Local.
But
he flew him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would fly him down, take him over there with Uber it over to her place and drop him off for 6 hours. I'd go mm-hmm. mess around, come back, grab him, and fly back at nighttime with him. Mm-hmm. And we did that three, four, or five times. But she was able to see him at least mm-hmm. once a month.
Until COVID hit.
Yeah,
but yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then they cut you off?
I mean, it was more of like shelter, like you couldn't really have a lot of outside contact. I mean, we could talk on the phone, but, mm-hmm. you know, as far as, because, I mean, it's a city, so it's a little, the regulations
were a lot different. She was in San Jose,
yeah.
So it was really,
worst, yeah.
Right.
It wasn't, we just had, as a program, had to follow what
the city
were putting in place. And mm-hmm. let me tell you, it was a lot stricter down in the Bay Area than it was
here.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And in the meantime, the courts, you were working with the courts.
So the courts basically put it at the discretion of my family.
Okay.
And what they were comfortable with. So technically, I didn't have him taken away because I gave up my rights, so I didn't lose him. So, and Lord willing, I had people in my life that were willing to take him at the time. So.
And your sister.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Who's almost your twin.
Yeah.
Yeah. She took care of him, took him in, and between Ron and your sister. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So my sister had my son from the time that he was 6 months old up until about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And so I would say for the last year and a half, I would have him two or three nights a week, but he's been in her sole care for since he was 6 months old.
Mm-hmm. And very involved in your life.
Very involved.
And he had the support of Ron as well. So this little boy,
yes.
I mean, I've witnessed Lonnie. That's a cross between Ron and Lenny.
Yeah,
Lonnie.
Yeah.
Lenny's witnessed it with the amount of support that he has had around him. So he's like the happiest kid I've ever seen.
Yeah, and so well adjusted.
So sweet. And
yeah.
Well adjusted.
That's
smart.
Yeah, really, that's really.
So
you know, when
smart.
I jump in.
Considering my prenatal care.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when I took guardianship of him, I thought, what am I getting myself into here?
Right.
You know, I've never been around a drug baby, I guess.
Right.
And I thought, wow, is he going to be like crying all night? Am I
going to
be feeding him or taking care of him all night long? And you know what? He turned out to be absolutely
precious.
And
yeah.
You know, the beautiful thing about Jordan's story, not only is she a miracle, but he's a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you don't see that very often where
you would
the mom
never know.
Had no prenatal care, no. Used drugs for whole pregnancy, and then pops out a baby genius. He's very smart.
You would never know that he was a drug baby.
This whole story is just such a miracle.
It's a God thing.
With Harlow included, he's such a miracle.
Yeah. So who made the decision then to say Monday he's yours or Saturday he's yours or he's coming home tomorrow?
I think at that point it just really depended on my schedule. We were pretty flexible, you know, but we would get together like weekly, you know, and see our schedules and what fit and, you know, where I could be active in his life, you know. My sister pretty much, you know, allowed me to do that and I'm forever grateful. You know, I love my sister.
Amazing.
And she has done more for me than...
She's incredible.
Yeah, she really
is
incredible.
She is.
Yep.
Yeah. I love you, Cher.
Oh, okay.
You make me cry.
We're all crying now.
My eyes are sweating.
Oh,
yeah, she's an amazing woman as well. And You guys have quite remarkable stories, both of you. Really, you've been through so much.
Yeah.
But the love and support that you have surrounding you. So, I just wanted to know, like, with this time in rehab, which I think you answered it by you saying your motivation was Harlow,
mm-hmm.
was now you had a baby, because I was curious, what made the difference this time between all the other times?
Today was definitely my son. There were certain mm-hmm. points when, you know, obviously, who wants to go to rehab in one aspect, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, yes, we all want it, but there's a part of you that, you know, but I think that as time went on in the program, I started doing it for myself, and I knew that I had to get myself right and aligned with the Lord in order to be able to be there for my son,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the one thing that I kept telling myself is it's 1 year versus the rest of his life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if I don't do it, you know, right this time, like, I mean, I could only imagine, you know, like what that would, I mean, he's my son,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's my son, so, yeah.
And what a program team challenge must be. Good grief.
So in our every student that comes into the program stays 12 to 18 months. And a lot of times, you know, because you have that fight or flight. Everybody has that fight or flight. You know, when problems come, when pain comes, you're either going to fight it or you're going to run. A lot of times when addicts, when they're up against that fight or flight, it's flight. They don't fight, they mm-hmm. run. And so the thing about having your kids and the mindset that Jordan had, like, that's a recipe for success. If you're an addict and you're seeking recovery, you have to focus on something. Sometimes your relationship with God is not enough. When you're a new Christian, it's not enough. You have to focus on something. And so for Jordan, that focal point was, I can't let my son down. And that's so important to have.
I think I can say for the first 3 months, I still had my bags packed. I mean, I just didn't know how to unpack them. And, you know, but, you know, once I was 6 months in, I was like, I'm halfway here. Like, why not
finish not be
it?
A runaway?
Right. Yeah. Up until like 30, 60, 90 days, I could only tell myself, okay, I'm going to be here for 30. Okay, I'm going to be here for 60. You know, just that mm-hmm. next milestone. And then once I got to 6 months, I was like, I'm halfway here. Like, let's finish it. And so, yeah.
There's that determination again.
Yeah. You have a very determined personality. We got a text from Joni. We know Joni. Joni's a faithful listener all the way from New York. Or New Jersey. Joni, where are you? Are you in New Jersey? She just wanted to say that she's been absolutely mesmerized by your story. So,
thank you.
Well, she wants a group picture. We'll take a group picture and send it to you, Joni.
So
thank you.
That's ironic because the program of Teen Challenge was actually started in New York City.
Wow.
60 years ago. Over 60 years ago, really? It was started in New York City, yeah.
So, Jordan, I have to ask you very quickly.
Yes.
How happy are you?
Oh, great question.
I'm extremely happy. Every day is a new day. I know that I surrender my life to the Lord every single day. So I'm the center supervisor now.
Woo!
And so that's
amazing.
Exciting.
The center supervisor.
Yes. So I am Jackie.
So she's my assistant.
What?
What? Yes.
What is that like? And, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left, like two, but hi.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. What an example you are.
Oh, Connecticut. She's from Connecticut. Joni sent me. She said, God bless this girl. Sorry.
So you're ecstatic.
Yes.
You're never going any other place but forward from here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love you.
So we do have an event coming up, if anybody would like to know more about the program. So it's September 15th at Hillside Church.
7 p.m.
And you can get tickets.
They can call our center.
Okay.
If you want to share the
number. 530-357-2772. So we have spots for sponsorships or just tickets to see testimonies. And we have a choir that's going to be there. And
wow.
So, yeah. And so we have an event every year, and it's such a blessing. So, yeah.
And if you didn't get that information, Ron will be posting it later on his Facebook page.
Of course.
And then, of course, if you know somebody that needs help, we actually have help. We have 10 centers, so not just the local Women and Children's Center, but we have centers for men, women, teenagers. We have 2 teen centers for runaways like Jordan, 2 teen centers, and then the only family center in the United States where a family can get help together.
Wow.
And you can call, and then Ron will post the phone number. So if anybody you know is looking for help or hope,
please
call. That's what we're here for. Like, you call us, you're going to get hope.
We are all in this together. Yeah, help and hope. Yeah, you're right.
We're here to put hope within reach.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Love you all. And
God bless you, darling.
Okay, thank you for everybody for listening. See you next week.
We get it almost every night when that moon is big and bright. It's a supernatural tonight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here and out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep their cues to keep it tight.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.